Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I am so excited about this episode. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I live in the United States, and I normally host this podcast with Elena Svetslot, who lives in the Netherlands, and so she's with us here today. But we have another surprise guest that's also joining with us from Brisbane, Australia, Dan Warlow. So the three of us from all over the world today are gathering together to talk about a very important topic. I'm excited about this. Elena, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what we're going to do?
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, Dan. Very excited about this episode because this is something I think it's going to change a lot in the hearts of the children. Is working, you know, a lot to provide blessings, and also for parents, a lot of learnings. That what we're going to talk today is going to get a lot of excitement going. So I'm very excited and happy to introduce Dan Warlow, an Australian Christian kids music artist and entertainer. And he will be telling us why music works so perfectly to bring about change, to bring about the gospel in children's hearts. So without further ado, Dan, please, please tell us more about yourself, and how did you get into kids ministry out of all the things?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. And just straight away, Scott and Eleanor, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. Look, I got into it because I have loved music my whole life. And I played drums from an early age and then picked up guitar later on and really wanted to make a difference using the gifts that God had given me to make a difference for the kingdom. And I guess it was those two things coming together, my love for music and my love for wanting to reach other people, that made me think, hey, maybe I'm going to do something with this. And I realized that children in particular, you know, there's something very special about that. They're the next generation. Their hearts are open. And it was just little steps at a time that I took. Something compelled me to do it. And here I am, you know, all these years later.
Great.
I'm really grateful, Dan, that you contacted my office and you said, hey, here's what we do. Here's who we are. Yeah. I took your music, downloaded it, and I've got two grandkids. I got seven grandchildren, but I took it to the two I was working with, one age three and one age six, and started playing the songs for them. They're jumping around. Their favorite one is the song Do It for the Lord. I really
like
it. Great song. And it just got my kids in just this atmosphere, this attitude of just spiritual sense of God being here and doing what we're doing.
Wow.
I really liked that. And so they would often say to me as I drive them in the car to school, they'd say, put on the music, put on the music. And so I put on your songs. We play through the album on our way to school. So I just thank you for your heart and for your work and for your ministry. It's just strategic, the things you're doing. I know we're going to share a special code. People can get your music in a bit, but we have some other things we want to talk about before we get
there. Yeah, look, that's so great you're saying that. I really appreciate it. For me, it's really encouraging. Obviously, for me to hear that somewhere in the world, if it's just for one other family that is getting a sense of God's joy, and, you know, for me, that's a win. And I kicked this whole thing off just thinking, look, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know if this is going to get big or not. I'm just wanting to do it for, even if it just blesses my own community, that the people that I know, that's a win. And to hear that, you know, other people as well are loving it, that's it's so good to hear. And there's something so special about kids when their hearts get filled with joy. They can't hide it in. It shows in their faces. They jump around, and it's quite contagious. That's awesome.
It is. And I can tell you that from the perspective of a mother of a four-year-old. And I'm so adamant that my children listen to certain type of music, you know, because I really believe it so hard that the words they listen and the music they listen gets imprinted in their hearts and really speaks in their minds and in their hearts, you know. And then you hear your child, you know, singing a song, and you think, what song is that the child singing, you know, or what is he saying? And so it's so important. And all over the Bible, you know, we hear and we read about the importance of music, but also the importance of the heart and what the heart is being told and what the heart lets out of. So I'm very curious. You are also a parent, right? You are.
Yes, I have three girls.
How do you parent them? How do you see their development? How was the music part of their lives? Can you share more with us about that?
Yeah, well, look, the music, the link with the music and my kids was that a lot of the songs were written often as the girls were going to sleep. You know, it'd be the nighttime routine or what we like to call happy hour, which really means crazy hour. Everyone going down and they're in their beds, and as they're going off, they, you know, want us to say goodnight, and I'd get the guitar out and often just be playing some songs that they know, and then before I know it, there's all these other new songs that started coming out, and I'm like, oh, maybe that's a song there. Some of the songs that you hear have come from, in fact, this very room where we're recording right now, songs that were written there. And I remember saying to you, Eleanor, recently that the music, I mean, it's been very special when the kids recently in particular have, as they're going off to sleep, they just want to hear, they're like, I want to hear dad's music. I want to hear dad's music, to the point where my wife is going, please, you know, give me anything. I mean, that's so good how they've loved that. But I feel like the music is not so much what I use for parenting here, but it's more my outreach mission for other children. And the main way that we're parenting at a heart level with the kids and their spiritual development is just by opening the Bible together and sitting down and reading scriptures and little devotions books, and really letting them explore what's happening and ask questions. I think that's so important, that they can ask any question. That anytime they ask a question, we really encourage that. It shows they're thinking, it shows they're engaging. And even as these questions get trickier and trickier from them, our girls are growing up and they're asking some of the heavy questions. And I think that's so good and important. And we really, whenever that comes out, whenever they ask those questions, we just have to stop what we're doing and, you know, and really engage with that.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. What I'm thinking about is your ministry, and I've seen some of the videos that you have recorded with choirs of children in Africa.
Yeah.
Tell me more. How did that work came about?
Yeah, so that was with the Watoto Children's Choir. I went over to Uganda to see the work that they do over there, helping children. And taking them from a situation of, you know, hopelessness and giving them a good start in life. Basically their choirs tour around and, you know, with my connection with them, we were able to, I'd written a song and said, hey, I think this can work really well. And they heard it and loved it. And actually the audio for that song we recorded in Melbourne. So I flew down to Melbourne. And we met up in that city. I'm in Brisbane. And we had a studio there and recorded it. And so there's that's how that connection came about. But again, the thing I love about that is the joy on their faces. You should see, you know, in that film clip, just the smiles. I think that's a real special thing about children, is how they show their joy. And maybe that's why I'm a bit of a big kid, I feel like, because, you know, when my heart's filled with joy, everyone knows about it.
Well, I did watch some of the videos and I saw you jumping up and down. Yeah. on the, and I was like, yeah, that's just a bigger child, just a child in, right. In the body of a man.
Yeah.
When I was a missionary in Kenya for 9 months, I taught in a Bible college, but I would go teach in churches in the various areas, and the worship in Africa is so
it's amazing, isn't it?
Exuberant. And yeah, when they worship, they're jumping up and down. That's what they're doing. And it's just so captivating. I was just impressed with their love for the Lord and the things that we saw there. I can imagine what an experience you had there, an opportunity to work with those kids. That's great.
It was incredible.
Dan, tell us about how you are working to write your songs? Give us some insight into that process.
Yeah, that's a huge process. So I've done 3 albums now, and most people ask, like, does it come first with the melody or with the words? I find my strength is with the music, and then wanting to fit words into that. But often this is what will happen. I will have a single line of music and words that drop into my head, and I'll go, oh, I think that's really good, and record it. And that will be like this, what I call the seed of the song, where it just starts with one little bit, and that's all I've got. And it's often the chorus right in the middle of the song. And my job then is to work through that and go, right, how do I expand that and fill this song out? But what's really important to me is not just to write something that sounds good, because I don't just want some words thrown around, you know, which are just don't mean a lot. I really want it to be meaningful. And the hard thing for me is I want to have deep truth in the songs, but when it's for children, you've got to keep it simple. And it's a bit of a balancing act of how do I have depth of truth, but also keeping it simple is a bit of a balancing act. And then also making it catchy. How can I have these kids jumping and dancing around to words that they understand, which also has depth in it? And I think that's one of the things I love about how Jesus taught is he would explain things in a way that people could understand, and he'd use pictures. And I think that's a really important thing to do. And so when I find the theme for the song, I then go into scripture and spend time writing down any scripture verse which applies to that theme. So with that song, that's how we know God loves us. You know, I had this document where I was just writing down any scripture I found about God's love. And in particular, any ones that jumped out at me. And so often out of that, there'll be bits of scripture which are key lyrics in the song. And that for me is the heart of it, is getting God's truth into the hearts of young people. And there's the power in music there, that music makes the truth, makes words what I call sticky. It sticks in their mind. And you know what it's like, right? When there's a song that's stuck in your head and you go, oh, that's just stuck in my head. I can't think about anything else. And for me, that's, you know, Dr. Scott used that word strategic before. And I think this is actually the strategy that I'm choosing, is music. It has that power to keep truth in the hearts and minds of young people.
I really appreciate that. You know, I remember as my kids were listening to your songs, there's one about God's faithfulness. I really appreciated another one about Lamentations that we really liked. I just think that music has this ability to bypass the intellect and go straight to the heart, and really opens the heart so that the words then can be assimilated. I think that's the danger of listening to non-Christian music. You know, you've got the opened up, the heart's opened up by the tune, and then you're susceptible to the bad words and all that.
Absolutely.
Dangerous stuff.
Oh, it's funny you say that. Just yesterday, a song came on in the car, and it's a song that we all really liked, and it's very, very catchy. But then it starts with early on in the song, my daughter says, hold on, did that say, you know, oh my gosh? But it was saying, you know, oh my God. And we were saying, oh yes, it did. That's not, we want to honor God's name. And then that was a teaching point right there. I had to stop. I actually turned the song off and said, instead of just saying, okay, girls, this song is bad, I tried to relate to them and said, you know what, girls, here's the difficult thing with this song. This tune of this song is really good, isn't it? And they said, yeah, it is. Because I even felt it too. The music was amazing. I said, but isn't it sad that the words aren't honoring of God? You know, they're just treating his name, treating it cheaply. And so what we ended up doing was just finding the instrumental version to it without the words, and we could enjoy the music. But I think you're right that it's sad when you get such catchy music and the words, there's a lot of trash out there, isn't there?
Yeah. And I also like the idea that sometimes you can memorize scripture through a song.
Yeah.
Bingo going along with the words, and then it kind of sticks in your mind, and scripture just really gets into your heart that way too. Great, great stuff.
Yeah. I think it uses another part of your brain. For me, I actually use songs to remember things, especially if we were going camping recently and I was pretty tired. We had to leave. And I had to just remember four things that I had to get. I don't know what it was. It was something like my sunglasses or my sunnies, as we say down here, water bottle, all these things. So I literally couldn't keep them in my head. So I turned it into a little song in my head. And it's how I remembered it. I reckon it uses a whole new part of your brain to remember things. And that's the power of it, isn't it?
That's great.
It makes me think of something. Kind of to reverse engineer the way you are composing your songs, Dan, and to think about how would parents think about and actually put in practice this idea about teaching their children what songs are good and what songs aren't good, or how can they, and this is actually a question for Dr. Scott as well, because I stopped listening to other music but Christian music. Because of that reason, I am a person who learns through a lot through listening, and also I'm very visual. Every time I hear something, it's kind of like sticks so badly in my mind that it takes me days and days to get rid of it. So I completely stopped listening to it, and I want the same for my children. But it's so easy. It's so easy to just jump on the radio and, you know, listen to the news and then hear something. How would you recommend that parents start to bring some kind of, you know, a different kind of thinking about what their children are listening, and how should they think about that?
I think just modeling it, and just, I think one of the parents' roles is to help choose the music that their children listen to. That obviously is a season. You can only do that for so many years, where there's a bit of a time frame, because when they hit their teens and their late teens, it's a lot more difficult to come in and go, sorry guys, I'm choosing the songs that you're listening to, and you know, pushing the next button. But this is where I think we have this time window of instructing our kids, particularly in this season of when they're, I would say, up to about age 10, where we have a responsibility to choose and instruct them very directly. And then that, in my mind, is the investment for the future years, for the battles of the teens in the future years. The work needs to be done in the early years. And that's what I would say, because it's about getting those teachable moments as well later on. And I don't know. I've had this shift in the way I parent, where I realize I can't stop certain things. My kids seeing certain things or hearing certain things, they're out there in the world. Things pop up on television, and if we just try and shelter them completely, where it's impossible. So we do our best, but when things come up, it's about saying, okay, we're not going to panic. Oh no, they heard this or they saw this. We stop it right at that moment and we say, okay, this is a teachable moment. Just like when we heard those words in the song, hey, let's stop the song there. Hey, kids, what do you think about this? And they said, oh yeah, they talk about God like this. And I'm like, all right, well, what do you think about that? And they said, it's not very good, is it? And using those moments, for me, that's been such a helpful insight into parenting, with instructing the kids and then making teachable moments as they arise. I don't know if that answers the question, but
think it does. I think that Deuteronomy 6 tells us that when God was passing the law on, he says to Moses, he says, tell the people to have these principles on their hearts and then impress them on their children while they walk along the road.
Yes, and
get up. Well, music is such a great way to do that. You pop on a song before bed, like you said, or as a child's going to sleep, or you are having songs in the car like we do in our family. You know,
all of those
great ways that we're doing teaching. Those are teachable moments. So we take advantage of what God has already outlined. Deal with it in life. And music is one of those great things to do in life. I really appreciate your ministry and your heart. This is really good stuff. Thank you.
Dan, we are coming toward the end now, and I wanted to ask you about what are you working on at the moment, and what do you have out there? What are you sharing with the parents? I know there's a bit of a different time at the moment, and the live concerts are probably not so are happening so much anymore. But what other things are you putting out there?
Yeah, look, I just yesterday was thinking about this year and how I want it to be strategic, and I will be I'm going to start songwriting again. I didn't think I was, but I'm going to just make sure I'm doing it every day. I think this is the gifts that God has given me. I can only go through the motions for so long. And in fact, I don't think the moment I realize, hey, I'm doing something, just going through the motions, that's an alarm bell for me. And I want this year to be really different. And so I'm going to be looking at writing scripture in songs to help people memorize scripture. I'm also, some state schools here in Australia where they have they still have religious instruction in the state schools, and we're very blessed to have that here in Australia. And that's something I want to focus on this year as well, is getting into places where kids haven't even heard the gospel at all, and doing that in a way which wins kids over and you know, just to encourage the children how much God loves them. So yeah, it will be songwriting and partnerships with other people. You know, I want to get in contact and work with others who have the same vision to positively influence the hearts and minds of children around the world. Well, so if there's anyone out there listening who feels that that overlaps with what they're doing, more than happy to get in touch, and love meeting new people.
That's great. Now, you said you had three albums out already. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about them, how people can get them, how people can get
great.
You. Just talk about your ministry and how to get more connected with you.
Yeah, awesome. So my first two albums, The Great Adventure and Jump for Joy, they're available. You can get them on Spotify, on Apple Music, I think on all streaming services. That's got that features the Watoto Children's Choir and Colin Buchanan, who's an Australian kids music legend. My latest album features the Donut Man. I just released it last year. Rob Evans from the States. That was pretty special because I actually grew up. It's going to make him feel old now, but I think Rob, if you're listening, you already know that you're old. No, I love the guy, but I recorded with him. And that was special because I used to listen to him as a kid, and to have him on this album as well. I know the difference his music made in my heart when I was young, and it's kind of special to know that I'm maybe doing the same thing with other kids. So that album's called Grow, and they can get that. I haven't put that on the streaming services yet. That's exclusively available for download on my website. People can find that by going to my website, danwarlow.com. That's D-A-N, and Warlow is W-A-R-L-O-W.com. And they can download it from there. And, I'd love to do a little gift to your listeners. If they want to type in the code word HEART, H-E-A-R-T, I'm happy to give 50% off to your listeners.
That's great. Does that heart need to be capitalized, small letters?
No, all lowercase, H-E-A-R-T. All right. And they can hear one of the songs. You can hear one of the songs on YouTube. You can see me doing the actions with my two girls on YouTube. If you type in the song Grow, Dan Warlow or Grow Christian Kids Song, that will they should find it there and see what they think.
That's great. Dan, we really appreciate you. We're grateful for your ministry. It syncs
thank you, Scott.
With what we're doing at the National Center for Biblical Parenting, with what Elena's doing in her coaching ministry and working with parents. So we're honored to have you be a part of this. Folks, we're grateful that you've joined with us today, and I encourage you to take advantage of the music of Dan. We've used it in our family. We love it, and that's why we wanted to make sure you had access to it as well. If you have any other questions or comments for us at the podcast here, please contact us. You can check out my website, biblicalparenting.org, or elenasvetslot.com, and find out more about who we are. In the meantime, if you have a good resource that you think would be great for parents who are trying to use a heart-based approach with their children, or trying to reach the hearts of their kids, would you please let us know so that we can share it with the rest of the world? We'd be grateful. God bless you and have a great rest of the day.